There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, and my wife, Claire Limmer Abid. Sarah Clark, at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, is on holiday.
She is MIA.
How are you doing?
I'm tired.
I know, you keep saying.
How are you?
Even though I've been doing everything over the weekend.
Excuse me, everything you've done over the weekend has been through choice.
Yeah, that's true.
But things that you chose to do and you made a commitment.
Yeah, that's true, but it doesn't mean I'm not tired.
Yeah, well, just because you're tired doesn't mean I'm not tired.
It's like, I run a marathon, I'm knackered. It's like, well, you chose to do it. Yeah, but...
yes, don't complain.
No, because I've been doing gigs, haven't I? Had a few friends and everything to come and watch me.
Got some photos in front of our Maths Live event poster.
Yeah, it's good. Sold more tickets.
Yeah.
That's good. So they're going pretty quickly now. It's less than 2 weeks to go. So if you're thinking about it, you might not want to hang around too long.
Get in there.
Yeah.
You did some promo at the end of your set.
Yeah. Did that every night. So many people watch it. On the first night when I brought up, like, you know, because I was trying to sell the tickets, who likes Married at First Sight Australia? I mean, I don't know why I was surprised, but so many people cheered. I'm like, well, I could tell when I said, oh, we're doing this live show. Like,
yeah.
They were excited about the idea of a live show and Mel being there.
Yeah. So, they've heard of Maths.
Yeah.
And they're obviously watching. When you said it, when I was there on Sunday, there were a couple of girls in front of me who, like, sort of nodded and said to each other, oh, yeah. Like, we'll go. I was like, ooh, there's maybe two more tickets sold.
Yeah.
But there is a reel on our Instagram if you want to see Omar plugging the show.
I think people who are listening
Shameless self-promotion.
Yeah. People who are listening to this are probably sick of us plugging that live show.
Yeah.
We're more than halfway through now because this is week 6, I think, we're starting.
Yeah. How many weeks do we have?
9.
12 or 9. Ooh, 9.
Yeah, so there's not that long. Now we're into April, so... Yeah. It's going to be done by the end of April. We're going to talk about the commitment ceremony, and then they've gone on the retreat.
Oh, yes.
That's always feels like a big part of the series now. I don't think they used to do it, but it's something we'll look forward to every year.
I love the retreat.
Yeah, it's good. So, because they're two distinct episodes, start with the commitment ceremony.
Yeah.
And move on to the retreat.
Yeah.
I guess the stuff before the commitment ceremony, when they're all getting ready, there were a couple of things that happened, really. The ones that stood out to me was Michael and Stephen, because there was start of some of the tension that we saw through the two episodes. because it was awkward, wasn't it? Stephen feels that Michael's too feminine for him. That was the first time he said that.
Yeah, we've not heard that before. And then it was all awkward interactions between them, wasn't it? It felt like Michael was making quite a lot of effort, like trying to joke with him, trying to say, oh, should we do this with the apartment?
Yeah,
I think we need some plants. Yes, I'm on board with that. But Stephen just seemed kind of disconnected from all of that. He wasn't getting on board with, like, talking about the apartment, joking on with him. He didn't even fist bump him.
Yeah, I think Michael was making a joke about, like, the lack of connection that they have, and that was the whole, oh, you know, we're not hugging or kissing, should we fist bump? But then I'm 15 kilograms heavier than you, I'll knock you over, kind of thing.
I think he said that to try and, like, rescue it a little bit.
Yeah, break the tension a bit.
Stephen just didn't fist bump him back.
Yeah, it was awkward. It was an awkward interaction, which I sort of get what Stephen's saying. If it's awkward, it's awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and it's hard to break that tension. It is, you know, you feel like you shouldn't have to make an effort to have a bit of chat with someone, but I guess sometimes you do.
You do. And I think it is a situation where you should.
Yeah,
because you've just moved in together.
Yeah.
You know, you're there together to try and, like, have a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going to have to at least try and relax together, to use the word of the season.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's a situation where he should be trying to make the effort, because obviously sometimes it's not worth it. You just think, oh, well, I'm not going to see this person again, or, you know, it's someone at work or something. It's not important. You're just like, oh, yeah, I don't really have a good... we don't banter or whatever, but you should be trying to make the effort. That's the point of the whole process. The other thing before the commitment ceremony started was Timothy and Lucinda were really nice to each other. He was saying, you know, after the dinner party that she was rock solid and he really appreciated the loyalty.
Yeah.
And then she said, like, she, you know, feels very fondly of him, but it might be for his own benefit if he didn't bite, you know, and get so aggressive with people. Like, it'd be better to just let things go.
Yeah, relax. But he also said something like, didn't he? Oh, well, it's just because everybody loves me. Everybody wants to talk to me at the dinner party.
Everybody wants my opinion. Yeah, exactly.
That was good. At least they've managed to, like, lighten the mood around that a bit.
Yeah, as we've said many times, it's often kind of swings and roundabouts with Timothy and Lucinda, but it felt like it wasn't too much of a disruption, that dinner party, which it could have, you know, previous dinner parties have been.
Yeah.
And they managed to pretty much keep on track.
Yeah.
And again, the reason just bringing that up, the pre-commitment ceremony bit, was I think it was a crucial sort of stepping stone for what happens at the retreat.
Mm.
But
yes.
Let's stick to the commitment ceremony. First couple, third couple to leave.
Yes.
Ben and Ellie.
I mean, I was quite surprised they got them up first, but actually, why not? We know they're both going to write leave. Oh, well, you for a moment thought Ben might write stay.
Yeah, it wouldn't have surprised me because he was saying exactly the same stuff. It was, you know, I feel very strongly about Ellie. I think she's an amazing woman.
Mm.
But it didn't seem like that because of the massive list.
Yeah. It seemed like in your head she's got an awful lot of flaws, most of which are out of her control completely.
Yeah, you could see him, like, the kind of, what's it called, cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
But it wasn't genuine, didn't feel genuine at all. And John called him out saying, like, you're just flat. Your response is the same to everything. I don't know if you're embarrassed, excited, or, you know, she's told you that it crushes her self-esteem, doing the list and all that sort of stuff. And he just had very little response to it.
Didn't seem to understand.
Yeah.
Or did he understand? He just doesn't know how to communicate it. I don't know. Because John said to him as well, didn't he, something like, using a lot of words, Ben. I don't think you understand what they actually mean. Or something like that. That's really good.
We've been guilty of that on this podcast.
Just words. Yeah, and he's not the only one on maths that does that either, is he?
Yeah.
Words.
And Lauren actually said what you'd said, that he's...
Yes, she did.
He's a sociopath.
Yeah, I agree. But also, when he was asked how he felt about Ellie, John said, "How do you feel about Ellie?" Ben said, "I think she's a terrific person." That is a thought.
Right.
That is not a feeling, is it?
Uh-huh.
I think she's terrific. Yeah, but you were asked how you feel about her.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that about, you know, he might think Jono's a terrific person, but how does he feel about her was the question.
Mm-hmm.
And he just totally avoided that as well.
I think it's the closest they've come to saying that somebody's just there for to promote themselves. I mean,
yeah.
Again, John said, you're putting a face on and then saying things behind closed doors and you're not presenting yourself and genuinely committing to the process. I think it's the closest they've come to saying,
yeah,
you're here for self-promotion,
yeah,
rather than finding a relationship. Yeah. Oh, and we should say as well, Mel, this is an important bit, said to Ellie that the confusion she's feeling is very understandable and it's classic gaslighting.
I know, yeah.
Which is true. Just because Sarah said on our previous episode that he displays all the characteristics of someone who's, you know, controlling behaviour.
Yeah.
He's just not very good at it. But it's still controlling.
Yeah, it's still there.
He's telling her, oh, you're a terrific person. I really feel the spark. Here's some presents.
Yeah.
Then the next minute, I don't like your age, where you're from. Like,
I don't think we're meant to be together.
Yeah, in front of everyone.
Yeah.
He's been a really bizarre person this series, I think. Yeah.
Because the other thing he said was something like, oh, I don't know why I did it. I think perhaps it's an unconscious thing. That's like his catchphrase. He says that all the time. It's like he thinks that's some sort of get out of jail free card. Oh, I did it unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's learnt it somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe off a past series or something.
Yeah.
And has thought, oh, that'll wash with the judge, with the experts.
In a way, it's worse though, isn't it? It's kind of like with Jack, who, you know, has displayed similar behaviour, which we'll come to. He's just better at it. Better at hiding it, I guess. Like Jack went straight away in that argument with Lauren to something sexist.
Yeah.
Because he is unconsciously sexist.
Yeah.
That's the point of it. So if it's an unconscious behaviour to mistreat Ellie the way he has, in a way that's worse than being like, I'm going to be on just to promote myself kind of thing. I think he's obviously doing both.
Mm.
He wants to be on to promote himself and he's not bothered about how he's treating Ellie.
But the two don't go together though, do they? Like, if you want to be on there to promote yourself, you kind of do have to treat people well.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you? You could be a villain, I suppose, but you're not doing either good well enough.
No, even I think the villains, you can still become, maybe get on all the reality shows.
Mm, yeah.
Have a bigger online profile and things like that. But I don't think the villains, although we hate them at the time, I don't think they have careers, if you like, afterwards in the same way that the people we like have careers.
Yeah.
He's not even been a good villain. He's just been confusing and annoying.
Everybody's just confused.
Then it sort of went into the happy section.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start calling it because they've done this a few weeks in a row, I think, where they have a few couples that they blast out.
Yeah.
And, get rid of them so we can get to the drama. They went through Eden, Jaden, Cass, Tristan, Jade and Ridge.
Yeah, okay. So, they're the happy couples currently.
Eden and Jaden, they did that thing of how do you feel about him on a scale of 1 to 10? And, you know, how deep in love are you, whatever? And he said 9.5.
Yeah, well, I think she'd said his coach had asked him that at the Friends and Family
that's
Week
right.
or something.
That's
yeah.
right.
9.5. Did she give a score?
She said 6 or 7, I think.
Oh, okay.
But she, you know, she presented it as a good thing.
Yeah.
I think Jaden would happily admit that he's well into her. Cass and Tristan, yeah, again, not much to say. They just sort of recapped that the Friends and Family Week was good. Tristan loves Moddy. Everyone loves Moddy. she was happy that he'd been, you know, he'd made more effort in terms of being confident.
Yeah, I would quite like to know what that is exactly, though.
Yeah,
like, is he being more physically affectionate?
Mm.
Is the intimacy moving on? Is it easier with each other? Like, I would like to know what that actually is.
I wondered that because it weren't really specifics. She just said he was good at friends and family, like, and he was more confident. But, well, that's good. But how does that... that's good for Tristan, but how does it improve their relationship? Yeah. You're right, it's like, what are their rituals that they're doing, maybe? It would have been nice, you know, that John had recommended.
Yeah, that John gave them, yeah.
It would have been nice to hear about that.
Because I don't know from when we've seen them, if we've seen that much more physical affection, really.
No.
Like at the dinner party or the commitment ceremony. No.
Well, we've not really seen them that much this week. Their friends and family thing was good, but... the dinner party previously, obviously, Cassandra was involved in that stuff defending Tim against Tori. But we didn't really see Tristan there.
No,
so,
no.
Yeah, we've just not seen him that much this week. Not seen him much at the retreat either, that first episode. I don't recall seeing Tristan too much.
No, I think he was with Timothy a lot, wasn't he? Seemed to have spent a lot of his time at the retreat with Timothy, with his dad.
And he was saying it was going to be a dinner party on steroids because they're away.
He's probably quite wisely keeping a reasonable distance.
And Jade and Ridge next on the couch.
They're good.
Yeah, Ridge was very impressive there as well. He said, you know, he just spoke very strongly and confidently about, like, I can see a future. She's everything kind of wanted. I'm thinking beyond the experiment. It's like, and you just believe him. He seems he seems sincere. When he speaks seriously, he speaks very well.
Yeah, he's a likeable guy.
Yeah, so...
And he's not shortening words and shouting them out loud.
Yeah. And he spoke very highly of Jade, saying, you know, she's a good friend, she's a great mom and all this. We've not seen much of her, really.
No, I like her.
She seems nice.
Lovely, but yeah, we don't get to see much of our personality, I suppose.
The same as Eden, you know.
Yeah,
I've been unsure about Eden,
yeah.
Perhaps unfairly, but I still don't think we've seen much of her personality.
No,
or Jade's.
No, but I don't know. Sarah's not here. I can talk about the spoilers. I mean, it's not a spoiler; it's a preview. Sorry,
yeah,
the preview of Eden's shock,
yeah,
bombshell news.
Yeah,
so we're gonna get to see a bit more of her this week. It sounds like.
Yeah, God, I wonder what that... Well, we'll come to that.
Yeah.
We can start speculating.
I'm excited for that.
Right, and then that was the end of the happy section.
Okay, yeah. Move on to the drama.
Move on to a bit of drama. Richard and Andrea,
yeah.
Which was a good one. He was needy.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I don't know. I wanted to ask Sarah. She said she doesn't like that word. And I suppose, I assume it's because it... It's a bit pejorative, isn't it? It's like you want attention or you want affection or whatever.
Yeah, but that is a basic need.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know what she means. I'm not that keen on the word needy because it's like, well, everybody's needy.
Yeah.
We've all got needs, haven't we?
But can I have some water, please? I'm very thirsty. Something so needy.
Get it your bloody self. Yeah. We have a needy dog. I think we can use that word with him.
Yeah, we do call him needy a lot.
We do call him needy.
Because he is a little prick.
Shh, he's asleep.
Yeah, it's true. That was the perfect time to swear at him. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, I think Richard was, like we've said in the past episodes, it seems like he just expects things to be fine again, sort of instantly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sit well with him when things aren't how he expects them to be.
Well, it's not just that it doesn't sit well with him. He seems quite stroppy to me.
Mm.
You know, he's a bit petulant. Like, when he's telling the experts about what's going on, he's saying, oh, she feels nothing for me. And then...
Yeah, that was extreme.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she hasn't said that.
And everyone was surprised. And Alessandra was like, I'm taking a bit of time to process that because that's not what we see.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I was told that by Andrea. And Andrea said, yeah, I'm not feeling the intimacy at the moment. Not that I feel nothing for you. But she said to him before, when they had that argument, that he over-dramatises things. And I think that's a classic example. She says to you, I'm not really into the physical side of things at the moment because you were a bit gross about the way you spoke about it.
Yeah.
And he says, he interprets that as...
You've got no feelings
for me. Yeah. It's proper self-pitying.
Yeah, I've been with you 5 weeks and you've never felt anything for me.
Yeah. Well, oh, the intimacy's gone. When's it coming back? Is it, you know?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't know, does she?
Yeah, it's been, and he said as well, it's been going on for weeks. It's like, it's literally been 1 week. It can't have been any longer than 1 week, because that's when you said the gross comments that turned her off.
Yes.
He said the last time we were sat on this couch.
Ah, no, well, that was 2 weeks ago, remember? When he said the licked and blah, 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 those comments.
Okay.
Then there was another commitment ceremony where she said, I've switched off because of those comments.
Oh, okay,
now we're back again.
You're right.
So 2 weeks it could have been.
Yeah,
so fair. Weeks. Yeah, okay. In Richard's defense.
Yeah, he's waited till the 14th day and then he can say it's been weeks.
Plural now. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Anywhere two upwards. Yeah. Two plus weeks. So it's two then.
It's been weeks.
Yeah, I just wonder if this is going to be a repetitive pattern with him. Yeah. I think he's high maintenance.
Yeah.
When he's not getting sex, I guess. Like
what, 2 to 4 times a day. It needs to be realistic that is not sustainable for the vast majority of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically it seemed like he was pissed off because she's not all over him anymore.
Yeah.
That's the top and bottom of it, isn't it?
Mm.
And he doesn't seem to fully appreciate why that is. And why it hasn't got back to where it was.
Andrea said my bubble's been burst a couple of times, which is the photo ranking challenge.
Yeah.
And now this saying about the licked, sucked and fucked thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's not where we thought we'd be after the wedding.
Yeah.
We were talking about, oh, it'd be smooth sailing.
I know. But we did say this is maths though, so there will be something.
Yeah, I'm just surprised, though. He's quite immature. Again, we could have compared him to Ridge previously.
Mm.
Ridge seems very confident in, you know, what he's saying and secure. They just speak very, very differently. And, you know, there's 40 years between them.
Yeah, God.
Virtually.
Yeah, near enough.
And he's so much more composed than Richard, the motivational speaker.
Well, but he's got motivation, I suppose.
Yeah. To shag. Then,
but they both wrote stay.
They both wrote stay. Well, I mean, apart from Ben and Ellie, I think everyone wrote stay, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Different to last week then, because we had a couple of rogue people write leave. Oh, no, was it just Tristan?
Tristan and Madeline and Ash.
Oh, that's right. And Ellie wrote leave last week.
And Ellie wrote leave last week, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was a funny bit. In what world, when I tell you you have to do everything to win her over, do you write her a list of the things you hate about her?
Yeah, what, the day after you ran away?
Yeah. Yeah, I know she's mentioned to the girls about that he ran away at the dinner party, and she said it to the experts as well. Yeah. It's quite funny.
Well, that is what he did, isn't it?
And then we had Timothy and Lucinda / Jaden, because he likes to get involved for some reason.
Old Fabio.
Yeah. It was good because I enjoyed Lucinda kind of putting Jaden in his place this time. Not putting him in his place, because it wasn't, that makes it sound like aggressive. But she explained to him, actually, we've let go of a lot of armour in the last few days.
Yeah.
And Timothy said, when he was asked by Mel, I think, about the walls, and he's saying, well, they come and go, you know, something will provoke me and the walls go up, and then other times I'm feeling okay and more open. And she said it's a non-linear thing. It was quite an interesting thing, and this is, as they'd said previously about Jaden, he just wants, well, are you in or are you out? It's like, it's not as simple as that. And I guess Timothy's point of, oh, you're 27, again, the age isn't relevant. But the point is, you don't know what my internal world is like. You don't know what I'm going through.
Yeah.
So I am a different person to you. I have had different life experiences.
Yeah.
So our paths are going to be different. Jaden, for some reason, doesn't seem to want to accept that. Or maybe he does now Lucinda's told him.
Yeah. I just would like to know why he has such a bee in his bonnet about them, I suppose. Like, I know he's saying it's because he's close to Lucinda and, you know, he's looking after her or what have you, which I get. But, yeah, I think there's also an element of him and Timothy have just butted heads, and then they're kind of, Jaden's digging his heels in about it a bit, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of being told by Lucinda, I guess, at this commitment ceremony.
He was saying things like, you know, we need to we need to know what's going on. That's why we're all here to, yeah. to ask. Like, and I get it. Obviously, that's the TV show, but how much do you,
yeah.
you know, are you meant to, you can't, you're not allowed to ask everything to anyone or for them to feel obliged to tell you everything yeah. of what's going on.
No.
It is ultimately him, Timothy and Lucinda's relationship.
Yeah.
Not Timothy, Lucinda and Jaden. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, they find out things about each other as couples at the dinner parties and at the commitment ceremonies.
Yeah, should what more do you, that, yeah. Really? Yeah, other than if you get brought into it to say, yes, Jack, you did say you don't find Tori attractive or something, then just stay quiet, really.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that they're doing it that a lot more this year as a group.
Chipping in?
Yeah, the commitment ceremonies.
Yeah, that's true.
We never used to have that, ever.
Mm, yeah.
And then it kind of crept in a little bit, I think. But this year particularly, it feels like there's been permission somehow for anybody to just chip in. Like Jono was chipping in when Ben and Ellie were on the couch.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you show her some emotion of how you feel? And Ellie was saying... you know, I'm going to take my voice and I'm speaking my truth. And this Eden was saying, you go, girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to just, I think they've told them they can chip in this year.
Yeah,
see
maybe.
See what happens, see if it adds to the drama, which it does.
Michael and Stephen. We had Stephen saying he's not yet attracted to Michael.
And he said on the couch, didn't he? He's more feminine than what I'd usually
To be fair to him, he said everything to Michael he says to camera. Which I don't know, yeah, to be fair to him, I don't know if that's a good idea necessarily. Yeah.
But anyway, they're both staying as well, aren't they?
Yeah, who knows for how long, though, given what we see at the beginning of the retreat episode. But we'll come to that. We'll come to that in a second.
Yeah.
Penultimate couple on the couch... Lauren and Jonathan.
Yep.
Which was interesting because it went a different way than I thought it was going to, because Lauren saying I have zero romantic feeling towards Jono.
Yeah.
My first thought was she just can't get over the Jono not standing up for her.
I think it is that.
But then she said, you know, but the reason it took a different tack than I thought it would was because they said, you know, we don't really speak about deep things. Or,
that's right.
And that's when we don't have banter. And Mel was saying, well, no wonder you don't have banter. If you don't speak about, you know, bigger things as well. It doesn't just come from nowhere. Yeah, the superficial small talk isn't going to carry you very far and they're 5 weeks in.
Yeah.
John saying he was definitely disappointed that they haven't had any serious conversations.
Oh, the things like haven't got deeper between them. It's quite a strong statement, that, isn't it? I've got zero romantic... Did she say spark connection?
Feeling, I think she
feeling,
said.
Feeling, right. Quite strong.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll recover from Jono's spinelessness.
Yeah.
Because if it was... They were all right before and then that happened and now it's just, like, a bit flat.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they were that into each other, really.
I know.
To withstand any particular obstacles.
Yeah, they weren't that solid to begin with, were they?
Yeah.
And they've managed to, you know, get closer, things got better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, really, Jono's kind of put the nail in their coffin, I think.
Tim and Sarah. Mm-hmm. We nearly forgot about them again. I nearly forgot about
them. I was going to say, don't drag me into that. That was you.
It was actually quite interesting, especially given what we see at the retreat, that Sarah was saying, I've been too big personality for people previously.
Too much for some people.
But even though she said that, I'm not sure she's learned from it. So, you know, given what happens at the retreat.
Yeah, but I don't think the experts were sort of expecting her to learn to do anything differently, were they? Weren't they just trying to encourage her to accept that Tim... She isn't too much for Tim. Tim doesn't feel like that. He said, well, that's my type.
Yeah. I think he thinks it's his type, but maybe he'd like a bit less. Yeah, maybe better we talk more about them when we get to the retreat, because we can go into the specifics of what kind of happened.
But she did show some emotion on the couch, didn't she? And we went through that phase of not really liking her that much. I don't mind her.
I found her a bit irritating.
Yeah, but, you know, we went through that phase of like, oh, she's sort of almost gaslighting him a little bit.
Yeah.
But actually, that doesn't seem to be the case.
They've had a decent couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I feel it's not as bad, but with this retreat incident, I feel it's turning a bit. It's not as bad as the whole not going on the dates thing, but
yeah.
I think we're heading back into rough waters with those two.
Yeah. I do sometimes wonder, you know, how much your enjoyment of being in this experiment with the group plays into your decision about whether you write stay or leave. Because I do wonder if Lauren would have written leave.
Right.
Because she's not into Jono, is she, really?
Yeah.
But things are fine between them. So
yeah, it's tolerable.
I can stay and, you know, have a bit of fun with the mates, go on a nice retreat.
Yeah,
have
yeah.
some fun dinner parties. You know, but live in a nice apartment.
He's basically a flatmate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's the same a bit with Sarah.
Oh, no, I get the impression, because they've been, you know, quite intimate and, you know, and just in the, well, they've said they've had sex, but just when we saw them kissing at the table and holding hands and thing, you know, hand on the knee, all that sort of stuff, it looks like there is affection there. I don't think it's, I know what you mean about Lauren and Jono. That just seems very, you know, second gear sort of relationship. I think there's more to Tim and Sarah's, but I find her a little much.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
She's too much for you, Omar.
Yeah, it's just annoying. She's just being annoying. But yeah, we'll get into it more when we get to the retreat, I think.
Okay.
Final couple then.
Yeah.
Jack and Taurine. Jack literally ran to the couch because he wanted to be...
Oh, that was so annoying. Because he wanted to sit where Taurine normally sits.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to be on the right side as you're looking at it. I've only seen him run that fast when the timer went off for the end of the kissing session.
Oh, I thought you were going to say on the treadmill when we first saw him, you know, his nipple ring.
No, he loves to run away from Tori. And actually, this is sort of what the theme of their session was about them as a couple. But we'll come to the stuff with Tori as well, I guess. We saw in the pre-commitment ceremony bit in the apartment that Jack was almost like warning her that he was going to say something that she wouldn't expect at the commitment ceremony.
Yep. Once he got in that hot seat.
Yeah.
He was going to get even more red and feel even hotter.
Yeah. He even said to John at one point, oh, ask me a harder question. Which
that irritated me.
I didn't know if he was being sarcastic and it didn't quite come across that way, that he was being sarcastic and he actually thought it was a hard question. Then he said, no, shoot me straight or something.
Yeah, shoot me straighter.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think he was just avoiding that question.
Right, okay.
Which was basically like, I think John's question was sort of, where do you stand in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
As in the Tory, Timothy, Cassie dinner party interaction. And I think that was just Jack's way of getting out of having to commit to anything to do with that situation at all.
Right, yeah, because we didn't really see him in that situation, other than when he was sort of baiting Tim a little bit as well, saying he had a foul mouth. We didn't see much of him in that.
So then if he says to the experts, no, ask me a better question.
Right.
Shoot me straighter. He totally gets off scot-free for getting on board with Tori and baiting Timothy.
Right,
he didn't
have
to answer to it for anything.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I didn't pick up on that, because that's where they started on the couch, was talking about Tori's behaviour.
Yeah.
And she was saying that, you know, it takes a lot to get her angry, but Timothy manages to do that. And John was asking her, what is it about it that annoys you? And she said...
What is it about smug?
That's it. What is it about smug people? And she said, smug is sneaking, sneaky is disingenuous. And I don't like disingenuous people. Firstly, look who you sat with.
I just think Jack's smug face is 10 times more smug than Timothy's smug face.
Yeah, yeah.
But then Timothy goes, it's the only one I've got.
Yeah. Yeah, she said she went feral.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
At the dinner party. And it was, the comment is just as destructive as Jack's comment about...
Yeah.
No way.
The group were not happy about that, were they?
Yeah, again, the expert said there's women in the group rolling their eyes at that, which is true. It's just a ridiculous thing to say, to try and deflect from...
Yeah.
You know, to try and make Jack's comments look less bad by having something comparable. But it's like, it's just such a ridiculous... difference between them. Like, you know, she's properly building up, like, or saying you have nothing. That would really hurt me. That would cut me deep.
Yeah.
It's like, would it?
And he didn't quite say you have nothing. Mm-hmm. He said something like, you have nothing to say about this situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than you are not. It seems to have turned into Timothy saying Jaden is nothing.
Yeah.
When that's not what he said.
That whole argument, there was some very heavy editing about it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be confident of what...
What was said.
Yeah, the context of what Timothy... He definitely said at one point, you have nothing. But it could be like, you have nothing in terms of an argument.
Yeah.
You know, and not you have nothing in your life, you are nothing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, either way, it's just not as bad as what Jack had said.
No. And has she apologised to Cass?
No.
Because she was crappy to Cass.
Yeah.
And I know perhaps Cassie isn't aware of those comments about the food chain and all of that, mm-hmm. because that was to camera. And I would assume then that the experts also aren't aware of those comments.
Yeah.
Because that was to camera, not in the dinner party setting.
Yeah.
But even so, she was horrible to Cass at the dinner party.
Yeah, yeah.
And that hasn't been brought up or resolved or, you know, we've not seen Tori go, do you know, I feel really bad about that. Want to have a quick chat with Cass because now I'm calm. That wasn't okay. She didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen any of that at all.
Well, that's true. And she's admitted that she went feral. So she knows she's just funny, like, yeah.
Funny phrasing of that as well, isn't it? Wow.
So she would feel that she should feel the need to apologise.
Yeah.
But you're right, she hasn't done that. But then, you're right, Jack had kind of moved it on to then talking about how their relationship's going. And you pointed something out about... Because I guess jumping ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
The next day, Jack says, I know I said that you're more into me than I am into you, but I was under pressure. I was getting a grilling and actually it's equal. It's like, firstly, if you're under pressure, it's not a difficult thing to say. He could have said at the time, no, we're equal.
Yeah.
Or I'm more into her. There's only three options. We're equal. I'm more into you. Option three, you're more into me.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think any amount of pressure would make you say the wrong thing of those three options.
Yeah. And it's not like they had one of the most pressured conversation on the couch that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And also, Jack went running towards that couch because he had things he wanted to bring. And that was one of those things.
Yeah.
He brought that to the couch.
Yeah.
I think her affections surpass mine or something.
That's it. Yeah, that's what you pointed out to me, that like he brought it up first.
He brought it up first. And then John said, is what you're saying that Tori's more into you than you're into her?
Mm-hmm.
So basically John just asked him to clarify, because we know Jack's not very good at clarifying things, asked him to clarify if that was what he was saying.
Yeah.
But it was brought, that was not brought by the experts, from what we saw anyway.
Yeah, it's like we said with Ben.
Mm.
He's saying two different things, isn't he?
Yeah.
One when in front of people and another when he's with her.
Mm-hmm.
It is gaslighting, he's just more competent yeah. at it. What do you think his game is with the whole saying that?
Saying she's more into me?
Yeah.
Well, he then started to try and paint it like, it's putting pressure on me because I know I'm going to disappoint her because I'm 34 and single and that's what I do. I disappoint people or something.
Mm-hmm.
To which Lauren and Jono were like, well, you're not single.
Yeah. But I think to be fair to him, what he was saying was, there's a reason I've had to come on, you know, I've got to this point in my life.
Yeah, and but don't you think it's interesting that in his mind, that phrase has not moved on? So that would have been a phrase he used at the beginning, probably in his auditions, his VTs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 34 and I'm single. I must have done something wrong or whatever.
Yeah. But
he still hasn't moved that phrasing on in his mind.
Yeah. I suppose he should have changed the way he says it, because you would say, you know, there's a reason
There's a reason I've been single for so long, you might say.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a reason I was single for so long, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been in this relationship. It's not new either. If he'd said it on week one,
yeah,
you'd have thought, well, fair enough. But they've lived together now for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still saying, I'm 34 and single.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think that's the difference. He hasn't moved it on in his mind. So is it a real relationship in his head then?
Yeah, I know what you mean. The problem is by itself, it's not much. I can see how he's trying to make a point about there's a reason I'm single at 34 and I've had to come on this show because I keep making the same mistakes.
Yeah.
But I get, instead of just saying it the way that I've said it, that he's just fallen back into using the same phraseology that he's been using since week one. But the problem with Jack is it's never just a one-off thing.
No.
And this is it. It's like then the next, because you don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, which isn't important when we come to the retreat. Because then the next day he'll just change it and say, no, we're equal.
Well, yeah, exactly. So there's the confusion thing again that Mel was getting at with Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that, well, right, so literally last night, I'm more into you than you're into me. Then when I ask you about it the next morning, oh, no, it's completely equal. Yeah, I just was on the spot. I was under pressure. But no, I don't think that. I've never said that. Yeah. But also, there's always been that thing of Jack doesn't find Tori attractive.
Yeah.
They're not having sex. The thing with the ex-girlfriend or whatever that was right at the beginning, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like there's so many things.
Mm-hmm.
That she's got to be having some doubts by this point.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the perfect way to go into talking about the retreat.
Okay, let's talk about the retreat. Although, can I just say, did you not think her comment at the end of their time on the couch was interesting? Because he started saying, I don't want to waste your time, just like I don't expect you to waste mine. And all. He went into this speech again, words, 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 words. And Lauren was rolling her eyes.
Yeah.
And then she said something like, no, please don't waste my time because it would really fuck me off. And don't forget that or something. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Like what? That was, I found that a bit odd. That was really interesting.
What did you find odd about it?
Just like this whole, it's a bit sort of, even that's a bit sort of power trippy, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, don't you dare waste my time. Because I'll be pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, but you all came in with the same agreement to spend 8 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
In the TV show, and what happens happens.
Yeah.
You can't say, how dare you waste my time? You better keep that in mind because I'll be pissed off if you do.
Yeah.
Well, it's a risk that you take.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same going into any relationship, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
What do you mean don't waste my time? It's not coming to like fix your boiler. And he's like, and he's booked in and then he don't turn up and then you rebook
it. That's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would be fucked off.
Yeah. That's a reasonable complaint.
Yeah. But you take your risk with this kind of thing. Everybody has.
Yeah.
And then she said something like, I've given up my livelihood. So whether it was Jack or someone else, I don't want my time to be wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can go in there with the hope that the match is going to work. But there is no guarantee of that. And that's not the other person's fault.
Yeah. In a normal sense, you would think, yeah, sometimes relationships don't work. It's not...
Yeah.
They've not come in to set out to waste your time.
Deliberately waste your time.
Not like the fucking Boiler Man.
To be fair, Boiler Man's very good.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The retreat.
Yes.
Well, we saw them packing. We saw them all packing. We saw Lucinda saying, "Oh, should I take this?" And Tim just like shrugged. I was like, "Yeah."
It couldn't have cared less. At that item of clothing she held up.
Yeah.
Well, I know that response well.
Yeah, Lucinda. You said I do that, don't? But
yeah. But do you like this? Yeah.
Well, you're not dressed.
Couldn't be more indifferent.
I said when you're getting ready to come to this gig. I said, you look nice. And you were like, oh, I'm pissed off. I don't have anything to wear. I've just got to wear the same stuff all the time. I don't look good in this. It's like, fucking, if I do compliment you, it's not. It doesn't matter anyway, because you're not dressing for me. You're dressing for you and other women. You're not bothered what I think, really.
I am bothered what you think.
You're bothered what I think if I compliment you and you're in a good mood about the way you're looking.
Yeah, and I'm bothered what you think if you don't compliment me, because there's no mission there.
It that just becomes wrong. It becomes a tick box exercise. It's not like...
No, you should say it and mean it, and then you can tick the box.
Yeah, but I say it and mean it, and it don't matter.
It does. Anyway, Lucinda wanted Timothy's opinion on that item of clothing, and she did not get it. And I'm sure she just laughed and was still excited to go to Byron Bay.
Go back to Byron Bay, the hippie area, apparently.
Yeah.
And she went, it turned her up to 11, I put on the tweet, because when they got there, she was like, I love this joint, this is soul ground. I'd like to make a unified experience. Let's make a cauldron and throw in some intention, connectivity.
Yes,
you just going
fun.
On and on. Let's release our shit. She was absolutely loving it. But before we leave Sky Suites, though.
Oh, yeah.
The big thing was
yes.
Michael and Stephen. That was rough, because they were doing photo shoot for maths. And Michael... caught Stephen flirting with the hairdresser, and then on the way back they were texting each other, and Stephen was just like, yeah, had a better instant connection with him than I do with you. It's awkward with you. And I'm just saying, that's sort of what we're lacking, and that's a problem. He was quite
black and white.
Yeah, he was very upfront about it. I guess this is what I meant earlier when he's like, for good or for bad, he tells him. He tells him the truth, I guess, of how he's feeling.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just because that is how you're feeling, does that mean that you should still have done it? Like, it's one thing flirting with the hairdresser in that scenario.
Yeah.
It's not nice for Michael, and I'm not saying he should have done it, but I guess people have different, like, scales of... what's okay and what's not okay when it comes to flirting.
Yeah.
So they probably could have quite easily worked that out. Mm. But then you add in the fact that on the way home, when there's just the two of them, him and this hairdresser have already swapped numbers and they're texting.
Yeah.
Like that quickly. And so basically Stephen must have been ignoring Michael in favour of texting this other person.
Yeah.
That's the bit that's not okay, really.
Yeah, you don't know what their boundaries are. We saw in the last series of Maths UK when they were playing Spin the Bottle and Terence wasn't there and Portia was there kissing other grooms and kissing other brides, I think, as well, a few of them. But they hadn't... Paul Brunson would say they need to set their boundaries, because, like you say, different level of flirting might bother one person and not another.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they don't have that... They don't have that little instant connection. I said in our last episode, I don't see much fun.
I know.
Between them. Is Stephen fun? He doesn't seem fun. You're starting to go off him, it seems.
Yeah, I am. I just think, I know I sort of said this a bit last week, and that was just more in terms of he's not really showing much.
Yeah.
That we can connect with as viewers, I think. But now it's getting to, like, he's really not showing much emotion at all.
Yeah.
And then that argument that they had in the apartment... was awful, I think, for Michael. And there was a little bit of sort of, well, you know, when Michael slammed the wedding ring down and went to leave or whatever.
Yes.
then Stephen was sort of like, well, where are you going? I'm trying to talk to you about this. You're being dramatic.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, hang on a minute. He's just showing some emotion. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
He's angry. He's hurt. He's upset. You've talked about it. And basically what you've said is, I don't have a sexual spark with you. I do with this person I've just met. We're done. Mm-hmm. So where do you want Michael to go from there?
Mm.
I would have upped and left ages before that.
And he was doing the thing of like, you know, oh, well, I want us to be friends. I've told you things that I've never told anyone before.
Mm. But is this similar? Well, it's not quite Ben and Ellie, because maybe Michael and Stephen do have the chance to be friends, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But in a similar way to Ben and Ellie. Yeah. Why do you want to be friends? That's not what you came there for. And if it's done, then it's done.
He's saying he wants to be friends to sort of make himself feel better. Why do you want to be mates with him? The previous episode, it's awkward. You don't know what to chat about.
Yeah.
So there's no like fun or anything that you can have in. I don't know if I've seen Stephen smile in the last 3-4 episodes.
I know. Yeah.
So what do you want to be friends for?
What's the benefit?
Yeah, but he's doing that whole I'm rational. I'm being the bigger person here.
Well, you're rational because you're not the one who's been hurt.
Yeah.
So it's fine for you to sit and be calm and mm-hmm. composed and want to talk about it because you're not hurt by somebody's actions in the same way that the other person is.
I'm sort of surprised he's so hurt, Michael. Not because what Stephen did was all right, but again, I've just not seen that much connection from him. Maybe he just had too much pinned into the process rather than the actual person he's with.
Or because it's the second match as well.
True.
So there's maybe even more resting on it for Michael.
Yeah.
But I can understand why he was that hurt. And maybe because Stephen was being so black and white about it, composed about it,
mm-hmm.
emotionless about it. Maybe that's riled Michael up even more. Because I think he just didn't feel heard as well.
Yeah.
Because Stephen just kept saying, but I felt something with them that I should have felt with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've heard you say that.
Yeah. I had to explain the meme to you, didn't I?
Yeah, the T-shirt. It was on his T-shirt. I didn't get that.
It was perfect because it was the woman screaming, and which I put on my tweet as Michael saying, you're here for monogamy. And then the cat just being really composed and saying, I had more spark with the hairdresser. it was brilliant that he was wearing that T-shirt. But I'm surprised as well at the retreat there because they did go. We wondered whether they would both go. And we saw him turn him over on the Lilo. So that's karma.
I do wonder if that went down well or not.
Yeah, though. It didn't look like it went down well.
It didn't look like it did. But maybe Stephen felt like he sort of had to go along with it because he'd already been not with Michael.
They're not at the stage yet where they're sort of joking and stuff.
No.
It felt too soon to do that. I bet like if they went for a fist bump now, we'd fucking clock him. Because, when they were having sat around the campfire thing, Michael really going at Sarah, she loves to get involved, which we'll come to when we talk about her and Tim.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think Michael was going a bit far.
He was, but I wonder how much of that has been cut out.
Right.
Because it seemed to go from not that much mm-hmm. to a lot.
Yeah.
And also I think Michael said something like, you seem to always have something to say about us. Or something like that.
Right.
So I wonder what else Sarah has been saying about Michael and Stephen, or to Michael, or, you know, that maybe he's bit his tongue a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it just all came out of this campfire.
Again, just keep it to yourself.
I can't even remember what you said now. Something about not trying, or... Because he then said about, you don't know what's happening between us.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was something... Yeah, maybe. I'm not quite sure I remember either, because it was just more... Then it sort of turned into whether Tim was going to step in or not. Because it did escalate quite quickly. I think she was trying to further explain something Michael Stephen had already said.
Yeah, but Michael was not wanting to hear that from her.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she told him to relax.
Yeah, that's right.
But she would never tell anyone to relax.
Yeah, of course. Going back to the honeymoon. And then in the apartment, she did say it. And I don't think she realised. In that moment when they were in the apartments and she said it to Tim,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she realised until after it was out of her mouth that she would then have to play it off as, like, ironic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think she said
see
it.
See how annoying it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she didn't mean to do that. I think she said it because she wanted Tim to relax and then was like, shit, I'm not meant to be saying that. I better play it off like I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah. But even when they met the friends and family, she said to that Ben friend,
yeah.
No, I would never tell anyone to relax.
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly. And then and they showed the clip of her and Tim in the apartment and then to Michael.
Now she's done it again.
You need to relax. Sarah says relax.
Oh, should we get that on a T-shirt for when our Sarah comes back?
Do you think Tim should have intervened?
I don't know.
Nah, I mean...
It seemed a bit like... I think if he'd intervened, it might have blown things up more.
Yeah, exactly. What's going to happen? It wasn't like anything that bad. They were like, you know, it was sort of typical maths bickering. You don't know our relationship.
Yeah.
You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You've always got something to say. You know, it wasn't that bad. Like,
no.
You know, and Sarah can sort of hold her own.
Yeah.
I think to expect Tim to come in and... You're right, it would have just escalated things. What do you think's going to happen with Michael and Stephen now? Do you think they're going?
Yeah.
You think they're leaving at the next ceremony?
Well, I think probably they should, because I'm not sure it's going to go anywhere. But I wonder if after the retreat, they'll make it through another commitment ceremony. Unless something happens at the retreat that we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we've only got the rest of the retreat, the dinner party, the commitment ceremony. So I think maybe they'll stay at this one.
Right.
If they've kind of... Reconnected a bit at the retreat, because it looked like they started to, didn't it, in the pool or whatever.
Well, yeah, this is, I'm not sure if he's flipping him over in the pool again, and it's taken a bit better than maybe they'll stay.
I just think if they were both honest, what is the point in writing stay again?
If he's that quick to be flirting with people, yeah,
and swapping numbers and then texting,
yeah,
all in like a couple of hours,
yeah. Again, similar to Richard and Andrea, I know it's maths and we shouldn't expect smooth sailing, but from how their wedding started, I'm surprised it's got, and this quickly,
yeah.
I'm surprised it's in such trouble. Tim and Sarah then, because when we were talking about the commitment ceremony and Tim saying it's his type, but yeah, she is too, she's extra, isn't she? Just always involved in some type of drama.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the problem is that Tim needs to back her up. The problem isn't that she needs to fucking relax and just keep her nose out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why? That's what you should say to her. You should be like, I'll back you up, but I don't want to have to be backing you up every 20 minutes.
Because you've said something that somebody didn't like.
Yeah.
Or because you've reacted strongly to somebody who's reacted strongly to you. Like, her problem with Michael seemed to be that he just sort of cut her off and said, look, you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sort of blew up more, then he blew up more, then it just kept going up.
Yeah. Well, I do think, in her defence, Michael was very... He was lashing out and he was being irritable, but don't...
Well, he was, but...
Don't put yourself in a position for him to lash out at you, because it's none of your business. You were just, if we remember it rightly, repeating something that he already knew.
Yeah.
And you don't want to hear it from... other people. This is what Jaden did. I can understand why Timothy was pissed off with Jaden at the previous commitment ceremony. It's like, he's heard it from the experts, he's heard it from Lucinda herself. You don't need Jaden chipping in.
Yeah.
And it was a similar situation.
But just because Michael was... lashing out still does seem a bit strong to me.
What, to call it lashing out?
Yeah.
Right.
Because I think, like, at first in the interaction, it wasn't even that bad.
Mm-hmm.
He just sort of cut her off and said, look, I don't want to hear about it because blah, blah, blah. So Michael was hurt and having to tell the whole group about what's been going on because they sat them down around the campfire so they could all talk about what Stephen's been doing. So he was already probably hurt and on edge and you know, had probably had enough of talking about it.
Yeah.
So he's kind of got a bit of a reason to be a bit less tolerant of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing. But what's then Sarah's reason for going back at him tenfold with anger as well then? She could have just said, yeah, okay, we're talking about it, so I was just going to talk about it as well. But fine, okay.
Yeah.
You know, but instead, it's like, well, he spoke to me like that, so I'm going to speak to him like that.
Tim.
Up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is, she said she's been too big a personality for people in the past. It's people can't be bothered having arguments on her behalf all the time.
Mm. But this is maths.
So you need them.
Especially around a campfire and the retreat.
A couple of the girls, Lauren and Sarah, got together with Timothy because they wanted to talk about Jack.
Timothy started it.
He did. Yeah.
Timothy got Sarah over. We need to have a little chat.
Yeah. He was quite complimentary of Tori.
I know. I was quite surprised by that.
Yeah, he said, I like Tori.
Mm-hmm.
No one cares about Jack. I don't think anyone here could care less about Jack.
I mean, I think he's probably right.
Yeah,
you don't really see Jack interacting much with
the don't.
Boys.
Yeah, we've
but
said before.
It happens in the gym.
Yeah, we don't know who his mates are, really. We know he's been to the gym with Jono, but we don't know much else. But what Timothy wanted to tell the girls was that Jack had been showing pictures of his ex to the boys on the first week to show them all how hot she is.
Is this going to be something that happens every year on Maths now?
Yeah, as soon as we were watching it, you were saying, who did that last year? Instantly we thought of Harrison. But
probably Harrison.
Yeah, we thought Harrison. And my mind then when we thought, no, it wasn't, don't think it was Harrison. My mind then went to Shannon.
That would have been a good show.
Yeah, he was still in love with his ex. But then you
Dan
and Sandy.
As if he had to prove that he used to date hot women or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
So that was what Jack was. And, you know, this, it's weird because they're such dissimilar characters.
It's like the Maths red flag playbook.
Yeah, so he was he'd been showing the boys pictures of his ex, and then Sarah came in with some information that did she say a commitment ceremony? Something
after a dinner party. The first one was the bum slap.
Yeah.
At the spa. So I don't know if that was if that's at the Sky Suites.
Right, okay.
Or if this was at the retreat, I don't know. But she said something like, we were going to the spa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but this is it. Bum slap makes it sound obvious intent. She said he sort of like patted her bum. I mean,
oh, that's right, yeah.
She did say, and then the second one, she said, went to give her a kiss and kissed her on the neck.
Oh.
Now, God. The thing, I've accidentally done that.
Woman?
Yeah, to a woman.
Okay.
It was one of my friends was just saying goodbye at the end of the night, and she sort of leaned, you know, I was going to give her a peck on the cheek, and she sort of leaned forward to part of the hug, and I accidentally kissed her on the neck, and we laughed about it. It was obviously like just an accident, but that's it. It was obviously an accident.
And then when you laugh about it in the moment,
yes,
you both know.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously they didn't do that.
They didn't.
She's thinking there's something sinister about it.
Exactly. If Tristan did it, you wouldn't think anything. You know, no one's going round telling everyone, oh my God, Tristan touched my bum with like his hand as we were getting out of the spa or whatever. Because everyone knows if Tristan did do that, it's probably an accident.
Probably everybody would already know.
Yeah.
Because in his nervous, like, energy, he'd feel the need to tell everyone.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, he'd blow it up too much.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
This is the problem with Jack, is that you just can't trust him, fundamentally.
Yeah. Because it's a feeling thing, isn't it? She's feeling as though that's something weird and sinister that's happened twice now.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack will explain it away as a mistake.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know. So her feeling is getting ignored because you can't kind of explain that as obviously as you can a behaviour or a thought. It's just getting ignored then.
He'll just say, I don't even remember it. If I did it, it was an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
And Tori's just going to take his word.
Yep.
Take his word for it.
Totally.
There's no way around it. It's even harder to... Because he's trying to talk his way around. When they went on the boys' night to the brewery...
That was so funny.
Direct
question.
Go on,
do what Timothy called the lads.
yeah. I can't remember if this is shown on the E4 airing.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, tonight's boys' night. I like half of them. I think the other half are dickheads. So imagine going out with a bunch of dickheads.
Yeah, and then he had a good laugh to himself for a little bit. Yeah. That was funny. I want to know who's in which, like, camp. Who's on which side of the line for Timothy? Apart from the obvious ones.
Yeah, where does he put Jono?
I wondered about Jono. Where would he put Jono? Where would he put Ridge? Would he see Ridge as a dickhead?
No, I bet he likes Ridge. I bet he just thinks Ridge is like, he's young.
He's probably a bit young for Timothy to be arsed with.
But I bet he likes
him. He's under 30.
Because Ridge is authentic, you know. He's sincere, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, on the boys' night, Jack was avoiding questions like, is Tori your physical type? Answer, she's enough for me. Do you see
that
her being...
That's not an answer to that question.
No. Do you see her being the mother of your kids? I'm open to having kids with someone I'm in love with. Are you in love with Tori? This finally answers this one. 100% I'm not in love with Tori.
So at least we've got a clear answer on one out of three of the questions.
We got a clear answer on that one. But yeah, they were trying to kind of pin him down a bit because they don't know. They don't know where he stands. Because, yeah, so anything like this whole inappropriate behaviour with Sarah, he's just never going to take any accountability for it. I bet he doesn't even say, I know the moment you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I bet he'll
say,
I have no recollection of what you're talking about.
If I don't remember, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Which also comes from Dan's playbook.
We were left with the girls... They're gonna tell Tori about it. That's what's coming up at the retreat.
Oh yeah, they've just taken Tori off to the other sofas.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a problem. I think this is going to be Tori even more embedded with Jack rather than anything else.
Yeah, because there are three things that to Timothy, Sarah, and Lauren seem like three major things that have come at the same time. So they've thought, right, we've got enough. We'll confront her with it.
Yeah.
But then when you look at those three things, Jack's going to try and explain them away.
Oh, yeah. Well,
easily to Tori.
The photo, the problem with the photos with the exes, in a way, I sort of get it. Like, because he might just say, look, it was week one. It was a long time ago now. And he might just say, oh, yeah, this is, you know.
Is that what, did Timothy say it was?
He said, I'm sure he said it was week one.
Oh.
So it's sort of too long ago.
Yeah,
and when
it's
that early in the process, you could just be like, yeah, this is my type. You know, these are the exes that I've dated.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, but again, the problem is it's not a solid enough rock in itself. It's like a pebble, but they're getting a few pebbles together.
Yeah.
It's just whether it's enough.
Yeah.
And I don't think it will be to sway Tori. I think if anything, it's just going to cause a rift between Tori and the rest of the girls.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, definitely. He's going to explain this stuff away and Tori's going to believe it. But then I sort of get what Lauren and Sarah are doing, because what do? You just not say? And in which case, is that helpful? It's like they sort of either have to take the decision to not tell Tori at all, ever, and just sit with it, or they have to find a way to tell her in a way that she's going to actually hear it and not feel kind of ganged up on or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And she already said on the Sun Loungers, didn't she, something about like, oh, people keep coming for our relationship or whatever phrase they like to use.
Yeah. I wonder what she would think if they had irrefutable evidence that Jack had cheated. Would she go, people just keep coming for our relationship? It's like, there's a point, these are your friends, supposedly, you know.
Well, yeah, they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they say they're close, don't they, and they care about each other.
Yeah. Well, even, you know, the fact that it came from Timothy, that, look, no one likes Jack, everyone likes Tori. Well, you didn't say everyone likes Tory, but, you know,
people care about Tory.
He doesn't want it to get to final vows and she stood under a tree having Jack dump her, which is very funny. This is the thing for me. Timothy's
so
been a
funny.
He's been a bit of a dick and everything. Obviously, we'll come to them in a second because I think that was an amazing moment on that episode. But he's been a bit of a dick, but you can get away with a lot for me if you're funny, and he's funny.
Hilarious. The other bit that I thought was so funny was when the three of them were talking and he could see Tori. She's coming here.
Yeah.
If you don't want her to know you're talking about her, you maybe just alert the girls once.
Yeah, you just say, oh, she's coming now. Yeah, you don't say it until she's a foot away. She's coming, she's all right.
She's here. Stop talking about Tori now.
That was funny.
You had a good time at the retreat, I think.
Well, I was very close to tearing up.
Yeah, I know.
It was
genuine emotion, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's talk it through, because it started with the card game, I guess, like they're answering questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jaden was asked, what's your greatest fear?
Mm.
And he said, losing my parents.
Oh.
Which was, if I was being less charitable, I would say, that's a dig at Timothy. No, obviously. Obviously, there was that wasn't intended.
Team Timothy, are you?
Yeah, it's me and Cassandra.
Yeah.
No, obviously that wasn't intended. It's a legitimate thing that people, obviously, you know, most people worry about, and that sent Timothy into a bit of a sad place, understandably.
Yeah. And Tristan noticed, didn't he? And like
gave him
a pat on the leg.
I think you know, a few people picked up on it, because he'd obviously his mood just changed. Oh. Talking to Lucinda about it. And she was, you know, cognizant of the fact she didn't want to probe too much, because she knows what it's like. You know, the walls coming up and down, it's a non-linear thing, so, you know. But this was big.
It was massive.
He said, you know, I've had a lot of stuff to deal with. And she said, oh, you've been so brave. And his lips started going.
Yeah.
And he had to get up and walk out.
Yeah. The moment that it all started to come out was when he made eye contact with her.
Right.
Because I noticed he was really avoiding our eye contact when he was saying about, you know, how hard it was or whatever. I can't remember what words he was saying now. And she said something like, oh, you're so brave. And they had this, like, sort of moment where neither of them said anything.
Yeah.
And then he did make eye contact with her, and then it started.
You know, people have said, should he be allowed on the show? And I think he should be allowed. He's an adult.
Yeah.
And he knows his emotional state, and he wants to go on there because he's alone. He wants to, you know, change his life.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, he should be on there preferentially ahead of, you know, some 23-year-old who just wants to be on Instagram.
Had enough of the dating scene.
Yeah, 23. But that emotion is so raw, and it's always just there under the surface, isn't it? And sooner or later, you cannot talk about it.
Mm.
But I think it's massive progress that, you know, Lucinda's sort of opened him up a little bit, as much as he's tried to allow her occasionally, you know. And then it's the waves coming and you can't stop it, you know. And he had to go out and had a little sit down, and he came, the bit I loved that had me sort of close to tearing up. I don't know what's pre-tearing up.
You were tearing up?
No, I was close. I was very close.
Oh, did you have tingly,
yeah,
pre-tear tingles.
Yeah.
You can feel it behind the eyes.
Yeah,
but it didn't happen.
Like I had shampoo in my eyes. Unless it's no more tears.
Do they still make that?
I don't know. I assume so.
For babies?
Yeah, they're still babies, so I assume there's no more tears. But yeah, I was close to tearing up, which I know doesn't sound like much, but I wouldn't have thought Sarah cries all the bloody time, she says.
Sarah will have cried at that.
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%.
We'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
I was close to crying at that. I was, because that was real.
Yeah. Sorry, the moment I'm saying all this about is the hug. When he came back in and they just hug, and it was a beautiful moment.
It was.
Because I think whatever happens with them, I don't think they're going to do anything mean to each other.
No.
Or if Timothy, if one does to the other, it's going to be Timothy to Lucinda. If Timothy does, he will apologise and know that he's fucked up.
Yeah.
But even if they don't have a romantic relationship or whatever, I think that's one of the most genuine, important moments I've seen on on Maths. I think that's going to really help him.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to know where they went kind of after that.
I think it was before boys' night / girls' night because of what he was wearing. Because I was going to say then he went and
They talked about it, didn't they?
They with talked the boys about it. She told the girls. And, you know, I think the girls were expecting, you know, something major, like they'd slept together or whatever. But then it was, I loved it on the boys' side when he said, I cried. And the, and who was it? Said, you cried.
I think it was Tim. Really?
Yeah, really? Yeah. And Timothy was like, yep. So he sort of still, he was happy to admit it, which is good.
Yeah.
And he'd said to camera that he knew Lucinda wouldn't be think any less of him for showing his emotion.
In fact,
the opposite. Yeah. But he still found it funny there was that slight awkwardness of, yep, I had a cry. Yeah. What of it? You're gay.
You need to relax, Tim. Tim.
But I also loved the moment when he said, yeah, I can't wait to catch up with her later tonight. So maybe...
I know the boys were like, oh, later tonight.
Yeah, yeah, just, exactly. Maybe
just the boys to take it there.
Well, that's what I thought
take
he was getting
to the
at.
Gutter. Oh, but, did you? I just thought he was just like, oh, I can't wait to see her.
No, I think he did say that, and then they started like joking him, saying, oh, and I think he was like, yeah, I can't wait to see you tonight. So I'm hopeful that they're going to take the next step in intimacy. That'll be brilliant.
Bloody hell.
It'll be huge for him.
It'll be even better if that's before Jack and Tori.
We keep saying it's not a competition.
Well, yeah, it's not a competition. However, if you're going to see yourselves as the superior couple, then you're putting yourself in a competition.
Well, that's true. The preview we saw for the next episode while they're still at the retreat, Eden. Eden has some...
Eden's got a bombshell.
I
can't wait. I can't wait to find out what this is.
What do you think it's going to be?
It's got to be a cheating thing. It's always a cheating thing, isn't it? But if it was going to affect every single person in that experiment, is there something going on between couples or something, you know?
Maybe. Or maybe what it is somehow Eden has ruined the sponsorship with Kit Kat and they're not getting free Kit Kats.
All the Kit Kats are getting removed from the Sky Suites. When we get back from the retreat, there'll be no Kit Kats left.
I'm so sorry.
Everybody's pissed off. The gym in the Sky Suites is closed. Which is the bearer of the bad news.
Well, we'll find out what this secret is that Eden is about to share and we'll talk about it on our next episode on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
So
it'll be us again. Just us again.
Yeah, it's nice. We can...
Sarah won't be back.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to go to... Where's she gone? Nicaragua.
I'm not going to go.
No, I'm saying you're not going to go to Nicaragua for 4 days. So she's going to be back next week.
No, we haven't even heard from her yet. How dare she not send us some voice notes?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
She's too busy.
Until Friday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Claire Lynn Abid.
We'll let you know when Sarah's back by going, she's coming, she's coming, she's coming, she's coming, she's here.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.